to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is another review. I'm Chris. Find me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. This one's going to be a little bit different because I'm going to be really upfront with you on this. I couldn't tell you who 90% of these people are. So when I'm looking at this, it is Monday the 13th. It is a day after the Blackpool pay-per-view, which I think was average at best. I'm going to throw that out there at the beginning. It is average, to me. This may not be a super long, review. I'm looking forward to NXT on Wednesday night. We got Worlds Collide on the 25th. So I have a little bit more knowledge of some of these guys, but 90% of the guys in this, I shouldn't say 90% because there was only 4 or 5 matches, so maybe more like 80% of the people I didn't know. You know, when you think of NXT UK, think of Pete Dunne. He's in UK, or in regular NXT now. Think of Tyler Bate. He's somebody I know. He's in NXT, but he's also in NXT UK. I love Tyler Bate. Let me tell you, he put on the match of the night, so far in NXT, definitely the match of the year. But we are not even 2 weeks in. Imperium. I know Imperium based on Walter and kind of watching his phenomenon, so I know those guys. But other than that, I really don't know anybody. You know, some of the guys from Mustache Mountain, I know them because I've seen them. But there's nothing about them to me that makes them, stand out. So I'm going to run through this review. Again, appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate the anyone who's on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, any of the podcast producing sites and who allow voices to be heard by everybody. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. This week in WWE, it's not even WWE. The first thing I'm going to mention this week in wrestling is going to be Tessa Blanchard. So this happened at the same time. Impact Wrestling had a pay-per-view. Their main event, before their main event, actually, I think they're losing Brian Cage. Brian Cage, who was a champion for a while, I believe is going to AEW. They haven't, said its official signing, of course. A lot of people are saying that, yes, it is official, but then, of course, Brian Cage's girlfriend, specific, said that, no, this is not true. You do not know what you're talking about. Which, I mean, something like that is always crisis control. Like, are you really going to say, oh, yeah, he's leaving? Who knows? He may still be under, maybe not under contract, but he may still have days left. You can't do that. I mean, that looks on one company, kind of going against a different company in what they're saying. So Brian Cage is going there. But back to the Impact pay-per-view, you have Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan. Earlier, what was it, a day or two before, there were some accusations that came out about Tessa Blanchard and about how she spat in somebody's face, called somebody the N-word, bullying, just, overall attitude issues, so bullying, racism, attitude issues. That came out, and of course, you had people jumping on all over the place. I mean, Chelsea Green from NXT, I don't really know a lot of specific people who jumped in. I know I did see Chelsea Green's name, but you have all those people. I know she did get some work in the Mae Young Classic. I know she did work some matches in 2016, 2017, I believe. Why was she not signed? Great name. Clearly great, great talent. But I think the issue with her is the attitude issues. And I tried to do like a little bit of research, and there was an insider, I don't know who it was, who said that the reason that she wasn't signed by WWE was strictly attitude related. Great talent, but attitude. And when, it came to Impact, Impact's just like, we know what we're going to get, but the talent just outweighs the potential negatives. So, good for them for getting the talent. Impact is not something I pay attention to a lot, but I do look at it for big-time stories and things like that. Back in the day, early 2000s when AJ Styles was in it and Christopher Daniels and guys like that, towards the beginning of it. You know, I actually went to some of their pay-per-views over in Orlando, and I thought they were fantastic. The six-sided ring was something totally different. They were free. You can go to them for free. You didn't have to pay anything. You just had to stand in like a two-hour line, which, you know, that sucks, but, you know, worse things have happened. But it was a good time. It was a good time. But with Tessa Blanchard, she ends up winning the Impact World title. So you have a female who is now the men's champion, which I guess it's not really even a men's belt if you think about it now. It's just a heavyweight championship. There is a women's belt that was won by or kept by Tara Valkyrie. But does this hurt Impact? Does this hurt the legitimacy of, you know, their show? You know, things like this bring me back to, you know, when you had China winning the Intercontinental belt. To me, China's was a legitimate, you know, name. Not that Tessa Blanchard's not, but China was a legitimate name in wrestling. You know, we're in the Attitude Era. Things like that happened. She didn't keep it very long. She won it from Jeff Jarrett, I believe. You know, then you go to WCW. What was some of the things when WCW was dying? I mean, David Arquette became your world champion. He was strictly an actor at that point. He has gotten into wrestling, and that must have got him in. But, you know, you look at that, and does it hurt the legitimacy? You know, does it hurt the prestige of the belt or the company? I think Impact needs to do something to get ratings. I don't think... You know, I actually thought they were dying, you know, once AJ Styles left, Samoa Joe left, guys like that. But I do think that having Tessa Blanchard as your champion, you can't take the belt off her right away. You can't. You can't have a rematch and have her lose. I think they're going to need their next big name person coming in to take that belt. I don't think it should be Sami Callihan. You know, great feud, though. Over the last few months, great feud, Impact. The one thing I can say is that they work through feuds, they see them out, and they make sure that it comes to a culmination, which is one thing that they don't really forget about feuds, and that's one thing WWE does consistently, is they forget about feuds, and that is one of the unfortunate things, one of the differences in the two companies. I don't look at Impact as similar to AEW, you know, in the sense of feuds like that, but I know with the AEW rankings and things, you've got guys facing each other who are friends, and like in at their upcoming pay-per-view Bash at the Beach, you got the Young Bucks, Best Friends, Lucha Bros, and then I think the other tag team is Hangman and Kenny Omega. Aren't Hangman, Kenny Omega, and the Bucks friends? Like, why are you putting them in matches? I know it's for the number one contendership for the tag team belts against SCU, but I don't know. You watch Being the Elite, and you see all these guys hanging out. Everything's cool. Honestly, I'm probably 10 to 12 Being the Elite's behind. But you see that, and to me, it takes legitimacy away. I just hope that AEW doesn't kind of fall into the Impact kind of falling behind, kind of third-rate company where Ring of Honor is right now, to be quite honest. There is no... AEW is the number two. I would have to say Impact and Ring of Honor are tied for number three. I'm saying just in America. I'm not counting New Japan at all, or, you know, anything in Mexico or anything like that. So WWE is still strong, number one. Next, we're going to go to birthdays. The only birthday on the 11th, which was the day that I started this but not recorded this, was Luna Vachon. Luna Vachon would have been 58. She got her name. It was part of the Vachon family. She was adopted by Butcher Vachon when he married her mother. She did pass away in 2010 of a drug overdose. It was oxycodone and something else. I'm not really sure. She worked in all the major promotions, WWE, WCW, ECW, the Indies. Best known as a manager, in my opinion. She did wrestle, but in my thing, she was best known as a manager. You know, I do remember she was married to Gangrel and actually lived, let's see, probably 15 minutes from where I did, where I used to own a home. She died probably about 30 minutes from where I used to own a home. Posthumously became a WWE Hall of Famer in 2019. Luna Vachon, great, great, like, look for a wrestler. Like, not the typical diva. She was, you know, the opposite of what you would see now. And that's the one thing that I liked, was she didn't fit the bill of everyone who was in wrestling at the time. She, you know, she was perfect there. But in terms of, like, wrestling now, she's not not what you would see. Like, you would not see her persona there as the same thing. It's just, you know, things have changed. You know, it's not the days of the Bull Nakanos who we talked about last week, of the Luna Vachon's, Fabulous Moolah's. You know, it's the days of the Alexa Bliss's, the Bellas, even though they retired. You know, that's the look now for wrestling, in women's wrestling at least. So we're gonna talk about the Blackpool. And like I said, this is Blackpool 2. The crowd is always hot. That's the one thing I'll say about the UK and what I love about WrestleMania weekend and things like that is just the... I've been to 3 WrestleManias, but been around 5 of them. But physically been to 3. And even if I don't go to WrestleMania, which I've only gone personally to 2 WrestleManias, but it's Raw and SmackDown after that. That's what I love going to. I would rather pay the same price for a ticket to 2 things than just for the 1 WrestleMania. The experience is great, and I've done it twice. Fantastic. Once WrestleMania 30, and then I think the other one was 24 in Orlando. But the experience of the Raw and the SmackDown after are just absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. The last time there was a... I think it was 2 years ago, so what would that be? 34 was back in New Orleans. And I did not go to WrestleMania. I actually had a WrestleMania party in the New York City area. I then flew out the next morning, went to Raw, went to SmackDown, hung out in New Orleans for another day or two, and then left. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. The crowd, and especially because it's a huge influx of, you know, people from many countries. But UK, Europe in general, they bring so much intensity. And I did watch Blackpool 1 or portions of it, and the crowd was intense. And I watched this, and the crowd was intense. It was fantastic. I'm going to get into the matches and just kind of give you very, very brief, just very, very brief synopsis of these different matches. And then just kind of give like an overall of what I think and where this is going. The first match was Eddie Dennis versus Trent Seven. Trent Seven is someone I know because he's part of Mustache Mountain. Eddie Dennis has absolutely no idea who that is. He came out with a very strange dragon mask. I don't know if that's his gimmick, but it was kind of like Marty Scurll's, you know, Plague Doctor type mask that you see. But it was a dragon. Very strange. You couldn't see a lot of the definition because it was so dark in there. That auditorium is very dark. You know, the lighting is good in the ring, but the entryway it's not. And, you know, it's kind of fits that UK wrestling style. I thought this was a good opening match. I mean, Trent Seven was huge over. I mean, Eddie Dennis was the heel, was the bad guy in this. You had Trent Seven super over. I mean, just saying, like, I do know his name, so you could tell the crowd was going for him. I will say Trent Seven has gained a significant amount of weight, in my opinion, from when I originally saw him. I mean, he was always kind of a bigger dude, but I feel like I was looking at him, I'm like, is this the same guy? I mean, the face and the hair is the same, and the mustache and all that, but the body is just bigger, so he's definitely a bigger dude, gained some weight. You know, no worries, we all do. But Trent Seven was, you know, played the babyface role great. Eddie Dennis did get the win. What was crazy about this match is Trent Seven, and I'm not actually sure who exposed the turnbuckle. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure who exposed the turnbuckle earlier in the match. I think it was Eddie Dennis. And Trent Seven kind of attacked him. You know, Trent Seven ends up hitting a superplex, a really nice superplex. Eddie Dennis countered with the 7-star lariat, which actually sent Trent Seven, or he countered the 7-star lariat, which sent Trent Seven into the exposed turnbuckle. Now, at this point, you know, the ref's pissed. He kind of, Eddie Dennis kind of faked out the fact that he was going to throw him in there. He was going to do almost like a buckle bomb, but with his version of the Razor's Edge, which he calls Splash Mountain. And the ref saying, no, you can't do that, because he had Trent Seven set up to do it into the exposed turnbuckle. So he goes, okay, no worries, and ended up hitting Splash Mountain over the ropes onto a guy on the outside, clearly placed, because Trent Seven would have died. Like, the angle he would have been at, his neck and shoulders would have hit right at the base of the apron, or not even the apron, I'm sorry, the barricade for the first row. Trent Seven would be 100% paralyzed from that. Hit a guy on the outside of the ring. Dennis covered for two. I don't know how Trent Seven got up. I thought that spot would end the match. Hit him with a next stop driver, which finished it. Eddie Dennis got the win. About a 10-minute match. It wasn't a terrible match for what it was. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It was a highly average match. It was a hot opener. A couple really good moves in that match. And then Trent Seven was super over, so the crowd was into it. To me, that kind of gave a little bit more into the actual match. Now, the next match to me was weird because I didn't understand the setup of this match in comparison to what happened. So, last week on NXT, you had Toni Storm come out and said that she was going to face Rhea Ripley at Worlds Collide, which is fine. I'm totally cool with that. And then she said when she wins the belt, it's going to be champion versus champion. So I don't know if they were setting up a champion versus champion, like, match, like, in specific, or were they setting up Toni Storm versus Rhea Ripley, because they kind of had them both there, and I was a little confused on that. I think they were just setting up Toni Storm versus Rhea Ripley. But in this match, you had the champion, Kaylee Ray, who is... I've heard the comparison about Io Shirai. She's different, similar moveset. I mean, she's a flyer, which is great. Toni Storm is definitely the, the striker. She's strong. Toni Storm's fantastic. And then you have Piper Nevin, who, I mean, to me, great babyface. She's kind of like the heavyweight, and I'm not saying that derogatorily, so let's make sure that we don't take it that way. There were three different styles in this match, three different body types, three different everything, and I think it was a fantastic match. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. There was a lot of big moves. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Piper Nevin at the end, I thought she was going to win. It was fantastic to me. Well, not at the end, I shouldn't say, but when she hit the Canadian Destroyer, I was like, oh my God, Piper Nevin's going to win this. Toni Storm made the save. And then, Toni Storm started losing her mind in the ring. And then you got Toni Storm hit a pedigree on Piper Nevin for a 2 count. Storm went up to the top and hit the frog splash. And then Kaylee Ray came in and hit a quick super kick. So Kaylee Ray ends up getting the win. I would have liked to see Toni Storm win. I would have liked to see Piper Nevin win. I don't think it mattered who won. The only person I didn't want to see win was Kaylee Ray. She's great, but I want to see kind of like new blood in that. And I think a champion versus champion match, Toni Storm versus Rhea Ripley, would have been huge at the Worlds Collide pay-per-view. Now, my question is it Toni Storm who's still going to face her? Is it Kaylee Ray? Are we going to get a triple threat, which I really hope we don't see? I hope it's just Toni Storm versus Rhea Ripley. Like I said, this was like a 15-minute match. It was good. Obviously, there are three people, so it had more action than the first one. Everyone was into it. No one was super over like Trent Seven was in the first one. But it was still a good match. There was a lot of good action. A lot of near falls. And, of course, the crowd was hot. I think the crowd was mainly behind Piper Nevin in this. But let me tell you, it played off all the storylines that they've been doing. And like I said, I don't really watch this, but you can see the direction of, where they were going with this match. Unfortunately, neither one of the two people that I thought were going to win did. But it's, again, it's NXT UK. I'm not too worried about it. Next match was the match of the night. Let me tell you, first match was okay. Average match for me. The women's title match, to me, was built up. So we had average to above average to now fantastic in this next match. It was Jordan Devlin versus Tyra Bate. And let me tell you, Tyler Bate is very... I mean, he's a very young wrestler. When it was the UK classic that they had for the initial title when it was him and Pete Dunne. I thought some of those were the by far the matches of the year. There was so much going on in this match. I'm not even going to really go into everything that was in this match. This is a match that needs to be watched, needs to be seen. It is an easy 4 out of 5, almost 4.5 out of 5. Fantastic match. Which was weird. Everybody thought this would be the match of the night, and if I'm not mistaken, there was a promotional piece that had them, you know, and they're obviously not in the main event. I mean, they're middle. There's 5 matches in here. They're in the middle of the show. To me, this was the second main event. I think it was absolutely fantastic. Must be hearing things. I could have sworn I just heard my name called in the background. That was very, very strange. So this match, I saw promotional stuff that said that this was the match of the night. It was guaranteed to be match of the night. Everyone had thought it would be match of the night. And, you know, it definitely delivered. This match was... Okay, let me first say that Jordan Devlin... I remember one of probably the only UK show that I watched. And it was because Finn Balor came out. Finn Balor faced him. I guess Finn Balor was a trainer or a mentor to Jordan Devlin. Very, very similar wrestling styles, in my opinion. Jordan Devlin, I may be wrong, but to me looks bigger than Finn Balor. Both of these guys are fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I've seen some good matches, you know, and we've talked about good matches, you know, War Games and different stuff, but in terms of wrestling itself and not, you know, humor spots or interference spots, this was by far the best wrestling match I have seen in a while. Absolute while. It was 20 to 25 minutes long. It was everything it needed to be. These guys worked together fluidly. Like, it was flawless. The stuff they did seemed effortless. The execution that they had was by far the best thing on the show. By far. The build of the match was good. I kind of looked into some of these. I went on YouTube and kind of like looked into some of the... I don't want to call them trailers, but the build-ups for the match. And, you know, with Devlin trying to overcome his past loss to Tyler Bate. And it was fantastic. And just the way it worked. Tyler Bate ended up picking up the win over Jordan Devlin. Like I said, this gets like a 4 to 4.5 out of 5 for me. This match was absolutely fantastic. The action consistently, I don't want to say it started up slow, but it started how a match should start. Everything escalated. Everything finished at the right time. It was perfect. You didn't feel like the match was going too long. Like I said, it was just a 25-minute match. I thought it was fantastic. Tyler Bate picks up the huge win. And Jordan Devlin gets to shine. I'm going to be 100% honest. The match I saw with him and Finn Balor I thought was good. But this is the only other thing I've seen of him. He was fantastic. Like, this was a great match. This is a match you have to see, have to see, and a match that I'm going to actually watch again. When I get home tonight, after work, it is something I'm going to watch. Like, I have to. It is absolutely unbelievable, and you know, I hope that you guys enjoy that match just as much as I did. So we're 60% of the way done with this actual pay-per-view itself. The matches. The next one's going to be the tag title match. I'm going to breeze through this one real quick. When I said I know 85 or 80% of the people here, you know, I've seen Gallus. They were on the other day. I've seen the Grizzle Young Veterans. You're going to see South Wales Subculture, which is Flash Morgan and Mark Andrews. You know, and then you have Imperium, of course. So I've seen some of these guys, but I don't know them. Like, I know who Imperium is. And like, I told you the guys that I know. So this match was, you know, for me, this was like a 3.75 out of 5 match. It had a lot of action. It was a you know, ladder match. So a lot of people say, you know, ladder match, I know what's going to happen, I know what the spot's going to be, and things like that. And it's true. I mean, you win by getting, like, climbing the ladder and getting the belts. Like, you know what's going to happen. You know, people are going to hit with ladders. You know, they're going to be set up in the corner and someone's going to get thrown into it. You're going to put one outside and you... I mean, that's all okay, but when the action actually happens, to me, every ladder match is different. Gallus ended up winning, who were the champions. They ended up beating Imperium, South Wales Subculture, and the Grizzly Young Veterans again. Another 25-minute match, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, it gave them a chance to use the ladders properly. Like I said, great action. It more than delivered, in my opinion. I had a good time watching it. But I don't know who should have won in this. I don't know. To me, it didn't matter. But Gallus ended up getting the win. Like I said, it's a great match to watch. I mean, nothing remotely close to the match previous. I think this was a the Tyler Bate match. It could have been the main event, but I'm glad it was where it was. This match kind of came in and still had everybody hyped up going into the main event, which the main event obviously should always be the biggest thing on the show. And you had that as Walter. It was an NXT UK title match, Walter versus Joe Coffey. Now, I'm going to premise this by saying I like Walter. I like the Imperium faction. Joe Coffey, I don't know who he is. I know there's another guy in Gallus with the name Coffey. I'm assuming they're brothers. You know, he wears Gallus shorts. Obviously, he's not, you know, dual. He's not doing both. It's not the same guy. But this match to me was awful. Absolutely terrible. I'm giving it, and you know, I'm going to be generous, you know, here on the rating. Very generous. 2.5 out of 5. I didn't like it at all. Walter has a specific style. Chops, heavy moves, like he's very stiff looking, and you know, it's, you know, this was almost a 30-minute match. Walter ended up winning by submission. It was a crossface that ends up beating Joe Coffey. I don't know, Joe Coffey was in another main event. I don't think he's that good. This match did Walter an injustice. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I feel like he did an injustice. I mean, there was, of course, the classic interference. Walter's down. Joe Coffey looks like he's coming in. Alexander Wolf comes in, nails Joe Coffey. And then Dragunov comes in, takes out Wolf, which then he does... he does some type of like lariat or something, like not a lariat. He just, you know, went after Alexander Wolf, which then hits him into Joe Coffey, who hurts his knee. It was too much. The match just wasn't good. I'm going to be 100% honest with you, and I'm being generous by 2.5 out of 5. What happened after the match was significantly better than what happened in the match, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I just didn't like the way they had Walter looked here. You know, Walter's not the kind of guy who needs help from the rest of the Imperium. He was pinned after the ref got knocked out. To me, it kind of hurts who Walter is by seeing stuff like that. I mean, there were positive parts in it, but it was almost a 30-minute match. If this match was 10 minutes less, you know, it might have been better. I don't think Joe Coffey, at least from what I've seen, he's not a guy that should be challenging for the title. He's just not. I was off on this match, and I apologize. It's just not very good. We're going to go to what stood out, and we're going to talk about the post-main event. So what stood out in this match? Of course, the tag title match was fantastic. The women's match was fantastic, but Jordan Devlin and Tyler Bate, fantastic. Must watch. That is a definite must watch. And who knows, I don't know how the rest of the year is going to go, and who knows what's going to happen at Worlds Collide and, you know, then the other 11 months of the year. But this right now is match of the year. It was match of the night, but it's match of the year. Fantastic match. Definitely need to see that. So the post main event, Imperium's in the ring celebrating Walter's win, which they shouldn't have, because it was terrible. They should have just got out of the ring and left. So they're standing there, and you hear like a roar from the crowd. And you can kind of hear Imperium kind of like looking around. And it's the Undisputed Era. They arrive and they attack Imperium. They surround Walter and attack. They end up hitting him with a high-low. Cole ends up hitting the last shot for good measure. And let me tell you something. The crowd was hot at different times in the night, but by far, this was the hottest the crowd was the entire night. They were loving the Undisputed Era. It just shows that, you know, they are the hottest thing to me in WWE right now. I love The Fiend. I love that that thing. But to me, he's not someone who should be seen all the time. The Undisputed Era is by far the hottest thing in WWE, NXT, NXT UK. They're the hottest thing in AEW. It doesn't matter. They're the hottest thing in wrestling right now. So where do we go from here? You got Worlds Collide on January 25th. One of the big matches, like I said, Rhea Ripley, who she faced, and Toni Storm. Like, that's the way they kind of set it up. But they also set it up like, well, it's going to be champion versus champion. So is it Kaylee Ray? Who knows? Kind of hope it's Toni Storm out of the two. You know, you have Undisputed Era versus Imperium, which is fantastic. That was one of my early predictions for War Games, was going to be Imperium versus Undisputed Era, not knowing there was going to be a Worlds Collide. I probably still would have gone with that prediction on War Games, but you know, we're going to get it at Worlds Collide. But one thing I want to talk about before I go is the disparity between NXT and NXT UK, and it is mind-blowing. The amount of guys who you can put in the main event or who are guys who could be over in NXT is absolutely unbelievable. In NXT UK, Joe Coffey is in their main event spot against Walter, and I think that was just terrible, just awful. The disparity is huge. The amount of players in NXT compared to NXT UK are huge, and I know that they're trying to go with a separation, and you got guys here and you got guys there, and they occasionally come together and things, and that's awesome. And I know, you know, it is what it is. You know, you're not going to get those guys to come through, but it is unbelievable the difference between the two. I am happy that I get to see NXT every week and not NXT UK, because this pay-per-view to me was this would have been a good show for NXT Live. You know, if this was like a Wednesday show, this would be a good show. This to me was not a takeover production. There were three matches that were good, one great. So I'm sorry, one great, two really good, two that were, one was average and one was awful. Like, absolutely awful. And unfortunately, that was their main event. Like, it just shows that NXT is a far superior brand. To me, in general, you know, I'm going to be 100% honest with me, and it's in general, but NXT is a much stronger brand than NXT UK. We can talk about this another time as well. I mean, it'll come up after Worlds Collide, 100%. We'll revisit this at Worlds Collide. But that's it for this one. I'm going to be back on in a couple days, giving you the NXT live review. And then in a couple weeks, we've got the NXT pay-per-view on the 25th. I'm going to try to get that out to you as soon as possible. I will be out of town that weekend, but I'm going to get it to you as soon as possible and try to get it done late that night if possible. Again, this is Chris. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. Hope to hear from you guys soon. And throw out any questions or comments, please. Thank you.